We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We brought you damn good beer, and now we're delivering to you damn good beef. So damn good, you can now get Hassle Cattle Company Wagyu beef, the DNVR bar. That's right, we couldn't resist putting that damn good beef in our bar on the corner of Colfax and York. So now you can build your own delicious Hassle Cattle Wagyu beef burgers with all the toppings you love. And you can get it at home at HassleCattleCompany.com, HassleCattleCompany.com. And they're hooking you up right now with a special holiday discount of 15% off your entire purchase. Just use code DNVR15 at checkout. That's DNVR15 to save 15% every time at HassleCattleCompany.com. That's your first pitch. Now let's play ball. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava CBD Coffee. Strava Craft Coffee is going to improve the quality of your morning since it's rich in CBD, CBG, and can be delivered to your doorstep every 2, 4, 6, or 8 weeks. Their CBD-infused coffee has got me feeling fantastic since I've been drinking it, since it helps with chronic headaches, joint pains, and so much more. Plus, you don't get any of those typical coffee jitters when you have 3 or 4 or sometimes 5 cups, depending on what kind of transactions are going on in the world of the Colorado Rockies. And now you can get 25% off your first purchase when you use code DNVR25. I am your host, Patrick Lyons. And joining me today is a very special member of the Rockies community. You know her from a lot of different things. You know her from all around the country, really. Even Canada. We'll get into how people know you from Canada. But ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Susie Hunter.
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it was exciting when we thought about people that we have to have in this off season. We got to have Susie in. It's a big deal. And you're now here.
This is where, here now. This is your home. I know. It's so fun. Happy to be here.
It's fantastic. Now, before we maybe go back to where you're originally from, we'll start with, in our conversation, where people most know you from, right? Hartford.
I think that's
kind of where you jumped on the scene and burst into the Rockies world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's where I built my career. But of course, when the Yardgoats came into existence, that kind of brought me into this whole Rockies Twitter world. And I met so many great people and started coming out here a bunch. And now I live here. It's insane. But yeah, spent so much time covering the Yardgoats that I do miss them dearly.
Yeah, and 2020, we all missed the Yardgoats and all minor league cities around the country. How much of a void was that during those first months and the first year, really, of the pandemic when there was just no baseball going on at all in Hartford?
Yeah, and especially Hartford, I think, is such an unusual circumstance, too, because just a few years before that, there was no baseball in Hartford because the 2016 season, the stadium wasn't ready. Those guys played that whole season on the road. So, like, that was already a void. And it's like, well, nothing like that will ever happen again in Hartford. And then the pandemic happened. So not something anyone could ever predict. So it's like, oh, gosh, like, out of the 5 years the Yardgoats have existed, they've played 3 years at this park, and it was a bummer for everyone in Hartford on so many levels.
Wow, yeah, that's an interesting perspective. Like you said, 3 out of 5 seasons when you're supposed to be there and they're not. And where they are is Dunkin' Donuts Park, probably one of the nicest minor league ballparks. It's so tiny, too. It's a minor league stadium,
yeah,
and it's packed out, mm-hmm. but they got it in such a small little corner of town, and it's pretty perfect.
Yeah, and the footprint actually of the park is kind of interesting. So the way it's positioned, they actually had to put the home dugout on where the away dugout normally would be, because they needed to give those guys, you know, a little more room in the clubhouse and all that. So yeah, so it's an unusual park for sure, but it's so nice. It's brand new. Those facilities are beautiful.
When you got the first look at Dunkin' Donuts Park, was right field the biggest question mark for you? Of like, what's happening out there in right field with that two-deck system? And is a pop-up that goes 292 feet, is that going to be a home run in the first deck?
Actually, in the first deck, if it hits the net, it is still in play. So it's not a home run. But yeah, second deck, I've seen Ryan McMahon hit many home runs up there. It was great times.
Yeah, and that
they were some great times.
That goes to the next thing, like, who are some of your favorite players from the Hartford? And I really want to know who are the best personalities, where maybe we don't know them as well, or, you know, maybe their Rockies career is already over, but funny person, you know, very affable. Like, who are the names that jump out to you from Hartford?
Yeah, Ryan McMahon, of course, a joy to cover. Drew Weeks, do you remember Drew Weeks?
I love Drew Weeks. He got off to a huge start, I think, in 2018, mm-hmm. and I thought he was going to be a good fourth outfielder for the club. Mm-hmm. Got hurt, broke his hand, and then kind of derailed. But Weeks, great guy.
He was Hartford's sweetheart. Like, people were making signs for him. He's just also the nicest guy, too. Another person, Josh Fuentes, now Joshua, but back when he was just Josh, he was great. Hysterical in Hartford. He was just such a personality. He would, like, run the team's Snapchat when they were on the road.
Oh.
And then, like, you'd go to, like, the local dive bar, and he'd be DJing later that night. It's like, okay, like...
DJ Fuent, no, yeah. we know he is in control of the radio no matter where he goes. Yeah, if you're getting a corner infielder, and you're getting a clubhouse DJ mm-hmm. for wherever he ends up signing this offseason.
Yeah, he was an absolute delight. Definitely one of my favorite yard goats to come through.
Love those two. Promotions are also really huge in Hartford. Mm-hmm. Again, they don't need to have any promotions because, again, that ballpark for where it's located, how beautiful it is. Again, in the Eastern League, we know there's a lot of, you know, passionate baseball fans there. What are some of the great promotions that Hartford has had over the years that have been maybe the most fun for you to enjoy, at least?
The biggest one they do a Whalers weekend to kind of celebrate the former NHL team that was in Hartford, the Whalers. But they end up getting all these, like, old hockey players to come back. And it's, like, cool for fans to kind of, you know, relive, you know, the kind of glory days of Hartford sports back when there was a major team there. But also, like, it's a legit reunion for these guys. So that's really cool to be a part of. And I've met some, like, just incredible people through that.
You got to share a good behind the scenes story, because when you get access and you're covering, you know, sports in Hartford in a city like that, mm-hmm. they open up all the doors, they take all the padlocks off. Did you ever get to take, like, batting practice on the field or do anything crazy like that? Because, hey, it's part of your job, right?
Yeah,
you've
got
to create this kind of content to have fun.
Yeah. I've never done batting practice on the field, which I kind of can't believe. That's, like, definitely a thing I have missed out on. But, like, they've done a lot of, like, they do a brew fest every year. So, like, I always get to, like, sneak in a little early, and it's a great team there. Like, the people, yeah, everyone working there is just incredible. They are so smart about promoting themselves and making it so delightfully chaotic and fun.
And they do a great job with their merchandise, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
They take the goat and they're like, all right, what else can we have the goat chewing on besides the bat? All right, you got a candy cane for the holidays. Boom. Hockey stick, like you said, when they have mm-hmm. Whalers weekend. They get very creative with all the different iterations of that goat.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And the funny thing is, so back in, like, 2016, when the team was not playing in Hartford, we kind of joked, we're like, oh, like, they're mostly a clothing brand right now because their merch is just so fire.
Yeah.
It's so good. And actually, the funny thing is, I've seen people wearing that merch all over the country.
Yeah. And I imagine in that first year when they were playing on the road, people thought, well, that's why they're called the Yard Goats. Like, you know, they're always playing away in someone else's yard. They're never home. And no, they're able to be there. Were you there during the New Britain Rockettes days as well?
I was, yeah. So obviously wow. A much different stadium, just a much different vibe. And there was definitely a lot of bad blood when they moved that team from New Britain, just 5 miles away to Hartford. It was a little, there was drama. It was drama for sure. But I think it's paid off a lot.
Yeah, I think Trevor Story, that was his last double-A stop. I don't think that he ended up playing with the Tulsa Drillers. He was one of the New Britain Rock Cats. And Connecticut Tigers, I think, were there for a minute. They were one of the teams that were left out, unfortunately, of minor leagues. They rebranded, if you remember, to the Norwich.
The Sea Unicorns.
Sea Unicorns, which Norwalls was right there. Norwich. Norwalls. Narwhals.
Yeah.
So that was right there. That would have been perfect.
I know. But they went with like the other name for it. You know, they were going for like, you know, the theme in minor league baseball of having like really goofy names. But the crazy thing is they rebranded in 2019, like in December, they launched that merch. They were like in the top 10 of merch for all of 2019, just having it out for a month. And then they never played as the Sea Unicorns, which I think is so sad.
That's wild. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, all that money that they invested into that. And I'm not sure if they got rolled into any of those partner leagues that MLB has been kicking around and whatnot. But yeah, that was a good branding. And I like the old school Connecticut Tigers too.
Yeah.
Where it kind of had the Tony the Tiger from Frosted Flakes kind of logo.
Yeah, very reminiscent of that. But still with like the Lions, you know, font. I like consistency. I liked what they had going on.
Yeah.
Sad to see him go.
For sure. Well, if you want to come on down to hang out, you never know if she's in the neighborhood, right? She's in the city.
Yeah.
She may come down to the DNVR bar. You can come down and check out any of our watch parties that we got going on all week during the weekend. Buffs, Rams, Avs, Nuggets, of course. It's their season. The Sunday watch party is going to be off the hook. Broncos, Chiefs, 6:20, I think. Is that right, Yahir? That's going to be amazing. Sunday Night Football, AFC West is up for grabs. You know we've got it going on, members. You get a much larger beer when you're at the DNVR bar. You get discounts at DNVR Locker and the Discord where you can talk with us, chat. It's fantastic. Make sure you sign up to thednvr.com. 50 cents for your first month. And if you get the annual membership, you get a free shirt. Can't beat that. We've also got a new sponsor in snoozesleep.com. That's right. It's a fantastic mattress. We've got the Snooze Sleep. It's the most universal mattress on the planet. It's perfect for every body. That's right. Whether you are warm, cool, if you want cozy, firm, soft, whatever you need, you can flip it. They've got a washable, temperature-regulated cover, and it's backed by 122-year warranty, made by Colorado, designed for the world. And now when you use code DNVR at snoozesleep.com, you can receive $250 off a mattress, $250 off an adjustable base with code DNVR at snoozesleep.com. If you're at any of the tailgates over the weekend, big W against the Chargers, we may have to talk about a tailgate that you attended a couple weeks ago. This is going to be a bit of an expose. We got to break it down, take you to task for something that happened at a tailgate. But if you were there, if you've been to any of them, we got more coming up. All you can drink Breckenridge beer, all you can eat sexy pizza. What is it? Well, they are right here in our Denver community, 13 years. They're as local as it gets. Hand-tossed deck oven pizza. They've got made from scratch each morning dough. Choose your own adventure with a wide range of topics. And they do an amazing job giving back to the community. Make sure you check out www.sexy.pizza and check out their about page for the donations link if you want sexy pizza to support your cause. Stop by any of Sexy Pizza's locations in Denver, Capitol Hill, Old South Pearl, Jefferson Park, and Park Hill, with Trinidad, Colorado on its way. All right, tailgate business. Susie, and this is where we were going to go next.
What did I do?
Before Hartford, there was Philadelphia.
Yep.
And before this set, you were last seen partaking in a Broncos tailgate, and you were wearing Eagles gear, weren't you?
I know. Listen, I grew up in Philly. It's where I became a sports fan. If I were ever caught dead at an Eagles game wearing something other than Eagles attire, I would be murdered by my people. So, listen, a lot of love for Denver sports, but this one game that only happens like every 4 years, I gotta go Eagles.
If the Broncos had won, I think it would have been a little easier.
I think you guys would have taken it a little better. Yeah. Well.
All right.
Keep it together, okay?
Let's see if we can get past this. I'll try to let it go. When you think about that Venn diagram growing up in the Philadelphia area, Phillies and Rockies in Colorado, the first name that comes off the top of the head is Roy Halladay, a Colorado product. heartbreaking, you know, and to his life. But of course, a guy who looms very large in both those circles.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Definitely one of my favorite Phillies of all time. Incredible on the mound and just like, what a great personality. What a great dude. So tragic. I still can't believe he is not alive. It's just because he was so larger than life. But yeah, definitely one of my favorites growing up, for sure.
He was great. His no-hitter on May 29th, I know the date well, because it was the day before I got married.
And oh, so my gosh.
That was part of the buzz. I've got, you know, in-laws that are related to Tom McCarthy, Phillies broadcaster.
Oh, no way.
So that was a big topic of like, okay, when I go over to this table, we're talking baseball, we're talking Halliday's no-hitter, big moment, and then he ends up goes and does it again in the postseason.
Incredible. Oh, that's a really cool milestone for your wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And when I was on my honeymoon was when the Armando Galarraga perfect game transpired. And so I had to get that a little bit after. So I will never forget. I will never forget those occurrences in spring of 2010 for as long as I live. Oh, yeah. Then I got married. That's also memorable for that reason. All right. Also Rockies Phillies. And we'll do best two out of three. Best okay. two out of three.
Okay.
Better hair, better beard, and just better overall. Charlie Blackmon or Jason Wirth? Okay. I'll buy you some time. You got to think about that. Jason Wirth, a guy that, man, we haven't really heard too much from him in a while and kind of turned his back on Philly. Again, if you're going to get the bag, you got to do it. Went and signed with the Nationals. Kind of was one of those first pieces when Harper was coming up, Strasburg. Mm-hmm. But he kind of made his name in Philadelphia. Looked like Teen Wolf. Mm-hmm. He had a lot more of that Teen Wolf vibe.
Oh, my gosh.
From Michael J. Fox. I'm bringing you back, huh?
This is like the throwback machine right now.
Putting you on the spot for beard, hair, overall. I mean, is it hard to pick? And they're both great.
It's hard. That's really hard to pick. I might go with Charlie Blackmon on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah, a lot more kept together. Like I said, it has the Wolf vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And Worth was one of the first guys who did that. So he did help pave the way.
He walked so Charlie Blackmon could run.
Love that.
With all that hair.
That works. That's perfect. This year on the 2022 ballot, we got Todd Helton. We're looking for him to get his, vote totals up. I got to imagine you'd like to see Todd in the Hall of Fame as well to join Larry Walker's.
Oh, absolutely.
Those Bombers. And he also got this year Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins, two Phillies guys on the ballot.
Yes, two guys who like made my childhood.
Yeah, they're Chase Utley is a couple years away. Until he's on the 2024 ballot. Do you think those are guys that might get... They're all three of them are in the Hall of Very Good.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go, they were the greats of their day. Enough to get in the Hall of Fame, that's kind of hard to tell, right?
Yeah, and also, I mean, I know, especially, you know, when I'm on the road, people are like, oh, you're a Phillies fan. Like, who's your favorite Philly? And like, I kind of like read the room, and if they think they're going to get mad, I'll tell people it's Chase Utley, and people get furious. Because I like, you know, I like to press buttons. So he's I get it. But so I want to see what happens in that.
Yeah, we'll see. I think those guys at least deserve to be on like a second ballot. And, you know, Ryan Howard never got to play for the Rockies, but he did have a cup of coffee in AAA in Albuquerque, which is strange to say about a guy. Like, you have the cup of coffee in the minors, not in the majors.
Yep.
That's strange how that works. All right. One of the more interesting memories around opening day to transpire here in Colorado, I think it may have been 2018, 2019, on the cover of the Denver Post, opening day, there's a photograph of Citizens Bank Park. Now, the first couple of times I saw this and everyone was buzzing about it, I didn't necessarily get it because the first time I went to Citizens Bank Park, I immediately thought it felt a lot like Coors Field, how it was arranged. Had you ever had that thought before you saw that major gaffe on the front page?
You know, I guess I do see their similarities, but it was just such a, it's going to live on forever. Like, it's just not something that's ever going to go away. There's always going to be a meme about it. I think it's hysterical, but also like coming from work, I used to work in newspapers, so I know you work long hours, mistakes happen. So it's like, I feel bad, but also like, it's still so funny to me.
It is. I mean, you know, the scoreboard's in left field. I think the batter's eyes are very similar.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no Liberty Bell in Coors Field. Kind of a giveaway.
It's a big one.
You can't see the city of Philadelphia in center field at Coors Field. Another slight giveaway.
Just little ones, little pieces.
Those little details. But I always did get the sense those two things were kind of very similar. And we do get the sense that the folks over at Green Mountain Dental Group, they deserve to take a lot of credit for the smiling Colorado sports fans you get to see around town, especially all of our DNVR listeners who've switched to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years to make them their permanent family dentist. They're the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro area, and they're extreme Colorado sports fans, just like all of us. And if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you'll receive a free Sonicare toothbrush from Green Mountain Dental Group, located only 15 minutes from downtown Denver. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has an offer every football fan should jump on. New customers can bet just $1 on either NFL team to score, and when they do, you win $100 in free bets. It's that easy and rewarding. Susie, do you remember the last 0-0 tie back in 1924?
No.
As you shouldn't. No,
I wasn't there.
Same. I'm not that old. Don't remember it. Didn't even know it happened. But that's kind of the deal behind this, right? We're trying to give you a lock so you can have $100 in free bets. DraftKings customers, you know, you can also get skin in the game with the new same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. It's safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, with DraftKings Sportsbook, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. New customers can bet just $1 on either NFL team to score. And if they do, you win $100 in free bets. That's promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Not as fast as RK, but I'm doing what I can on the quickness of that ad read at the end there. And finally, your Colorado rugby team is back again, but not as the Colorado XOs. Now, they're the American Raptors. If you haven't heard of the American Raptors, they're a top-notch group of athletes who've already competed at the highest level of their respective sports. Football players, basketball players, baseball, wrestling, soccer, track and field, all of that and more. Our guy, Colton Strickler, has got it covered for you on his weekly DNVR Rugby podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and learn more about rugby with Colton's 101 Rugby podcasts, with exclusive interviews with athletes and coaches. Plus, the DNVR Rugby podcast provides betting advice on the Super Rugby that's starting at the end of February, right when football season finishes. It's perfect. You can head over to AmericanRaptors.com to score free tickets, yes, free, or stream their games. All of that and more you can find on AmericanRaptors.com. Is rugby big in the Philly area?
I don't think so. It's like Eagles are everything, and then everything else.
Eagles.
Cooper.
It's the Eagles. All right, the big thing we got to discuss here with you, Susie. Well, there's two big things, but the first thing will lead into the next one. This summer, you just, I don't know, you lived your best life. You went to all 30 stadiums, except you didn't actually go to 30. We'll get to that in a second.
Yep.
Went to a little bit more than
there's
that.
There's a twist.
where did this idea come from? It's a bucket list that everybody has.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But what made 2021 the year for you to say, I'm going to do it. Going to do it.
So, I mean, this is every baseball fan's big dream. Like, everyone wants to go to every ballpark. But, like, to do it all in one season is like, wow, like, if only I could do that. So then, you know, I was in Hartford. I was a TV reporter and just, like, absolutely drained from reporting through the pandemic. And, like, I got moved to, like, doing breaking news, like, on a morning show. So, like, I was, like, really out of my element. And also, like, I don't know if you've noticed, like, what it's like to work in the news during a pandemic, but it's brutal. It's brutal.
I saw some tweets where you're, like, in your car with a mask on, and it's you can tell it's freezing outside. There's frost on your window. And go do your job, Susie. That's rough. That's rough.
Yeah. I mean, like, a lot of fun, of course, but, like, I was just so drained. So, like, my contract was up in March, and I was like, okay, I really want to take a mental health break. But also, I'm like, okay, like, this would give me the time to kind of do the trip of a lifetime. So I mapped it out to see if it was even possible. And I was like, okay, I can do it. I have to go for it. I'm crazy not to. So I drove to every single MLB park.
You did it.
I did it.
So how did you map it out? Was it more geographical? Did you just want to hit certain pockets at first? Or was there kind of, you know, some kind of rhyme or reason?
So I was doing it by section, but like the one thing that I knew I had to do, I knew I had to be in Denver for the All-Star game.
Ooh, nice.
So I kind of had to map it around that. But other than that, I was just like, okay, I'm going to carve it out in sections. So I did the Northeast first. I went down south. I went across Texas. Then I went up to Colorado. And I was here for like most of July, which was so fun. The energy here was just incredible. And then I did the Midwest, drove back through Denver again, and then did the West Coast. And then I had to fly to Canada after that.
You did. And so that would be number 30 probably for most people on their list is mm-hmm. you got to go out of the country, except you saw them somewhere else along the way, right? Was it Buffalo or was it Dunedin?
I saw them in Buffalo. So I wanted to see them in Dunedin too, but my sister was getting married in May. So like I didn't get a chance to get down to Florida before they moved up to Buffalo. So I was at Buffalo like kind of like in their first like couple of weeks of being up there. So that was really cool and really interesting to, you know, see Major League Baseball in such an intimate setting. Cause like it is so small, like it's about a 6,000 person capacity, I think, but they were at less than that, of course. So like a very small number of people at a Major League Baseball game. It was wild. Still probably more people than I saw at Marlins games, but it was, so that was cool in itself. Definitely quite a schlep. But then as the season went on, they opened Canada back up. So I was like, okay, great. Now I have to do 31 ballparks. So I brought myself up to Canada, but I couldn't drive up there. You can't drive there. They don't let you. So I had to fly.
Got to fly
but
in.
But that's okay.
That's great. Salem Field, I think I'm pronouncing that right, in Buffalo. They actually were just doing renovations to it as well. So hopefully it kind of perked some things up. But as you said, it felt like a minor league ballpark. But with big league players, which is kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah, but like also, so I, you know, love watching the Blue Jays because a lot of those guys played through Hartford against the Yard Goats. So I saw, you know, Bo Bichette and Vlad Jr. like that up close before. So it was like a little different, but kind of the same.
Yeah, those Eastern League teams with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, of course. That's cool that there's that connection. They're a fun team to root for. They're, you know, they've been down on their luck for quite a while. Mm-hmm. All right, you got the Tulowitzki connection, Bo Bichette there. So I think there were a lot of Blue Jays fans in Colorado if they need that second American League team. All right, what was your least favorite stadium?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to say I'm going to switch it to most overrated.
Ooh, okay.
I was not a huge fan of Wrigley.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
So, I mean, it's very similar to Fenway. I've spent a lot of time at Fenway. I worked at a Fenway sports bar for like 3 seasons. So I've spent a lot of time there. They're very similar parks, but Wrigley, they don't let you just like walk around the park. Like you can't do a lap. And when I'm going to a park, I'm like, I'm visiting all these parks. Like I do a couple of laps. I talk to people. I want to get the view from every angle. You can't do that in Chicago, which apparently is because I guess some fans got too drunk and ran from their cheap seats and like onto the field or something like that. But I didn't like that. I just couldn't walk around and then like all the views are bad and
yeah.
And it's Chicago in the summer. So it's just, you know, I appreciate the history there, but I did not love my time there.
Wow. And was it a day game?
It was a day game. I went to 2 games. They were both day games. So they were brutal. It was like 900% humidity too. And like could not see anything happening on the field.
Any pre-gamed before at maybe Murphy's Bleachers, one of those pubs around?
Yeah, Cubby Bear is actually the spot. I have a friend who lives in Chicago and that is like her regular spot. So I went to Cubby Bear. Weirdly enough, met 2 bachelor parties at Cubby Bear who were from Colorado.
Wow.
I know. I'm like, what are you doing here? So that was like really funny in itself. I still keep in touch with some of them.
I like that take about Wrigley. Yeah, you're right. It is very confined in that capacity. I think the same was true for Fenway. You can walk around, but there's this one spot in left field at Fenway where there's like actually seats in the walkway. And so if you sit there, you have to get up anytime somebody is getting to their location near the green monster. Like it's tight.
These old parks are kind of inconvenient. It's cool that we still have them and I love that for us, but like also just not always a great experience.
And they've got like the old school seats. Like they might be new. They may have put new seats
They're
in.
They're cramped.
But they are, the size is small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Built in 2019, but for the 1919 body frame.
Yep.
It's bit different there.
A malnourished body frame.
Oh, very much so. What about Miller Park, which is now American Family Field?
Yes, it is.
Not too far from Chicago. I find that to be one of the few domes that are retractable roof stadiums that I kind of like that. I don't like Chase Field, but I did like Miller. What was your take on that?
I liked it. One of the days I was there, it was so, they had the dome up, and it was so muggy in there, and I'm like, why is this happening? But actually, I loved it a lot. Had a great time there. My favorite retractable dome, though, is Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had a great time in Seattle. Seattle is delightful.
I have not been there yet. Looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. And also looking to, and this may be the bridge here, to get to the next piece because you're a bit of a foodie.
Yeah.
You had the seasoned crickets in Seattle,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, I did. I had like the last batch of them, actually.
And was it like the first inning? Or was it late? Because I think they sell out pretty quickly,
right? It wasn't that late, but like I want to say it was like maybe third inning or maybe fourth inning max. But like it was kind of late in the game for them to still even have them. So I was very lucky that I got them. I couldn't find them. It took me a while.
Oh, yeah. Everyone should know. Like, all right, what section are the crickets at?
Yeah.
You hear, have you ever had seasoned crickets or would you ever have some kind of seasoned insect?
I have never had crickets, but I have had a scorpion.
Yeah.
Inside the lollipop?
No, actually, there's a place down south in Texas that gives you a scorpion that's like grilled, like a grilled scorpion seasoned, so you get to eat it on a lollipop. It like gets on a stick, like a kebab, but it's pretty good.
Now I've done scorpion shots. I've never had it grilled like a little steak.
That's coming up. That's coming up next. There's going to be a team that may reach out to you to kind of work on some creative things because that's another thing that you do with your friend Amanda.
Yeah.
@Nacho_Scout. Mm-hmm. You're a big nacho fan. I love nachos too. That's kind of my jam. I feel like it's got all the major food groups in it.
Mm-hmm.
And talk a little bit about Nacho Scout. Maybe you know where it came from and some of the things you like to do with that account.
Nachos are the perfect food, first of all. So back in 2017, my best friend Amanda and we were like sitting there thinking, we're like, wow, what would our dream job be? Like, gosh, it would be like going around to every stadium and like making videos about the food. And Amanda's like, why don't we just do that? So we just started doing it. All you do is just ask people to come in with camera gear and try their food and make videos about it. And people were so excited. So we started with minor league teams and we just had the best time. And we ended up, you know, going to a Phillies game and getting to do that. That was my first, you know, MLB press pass was, you know, getting to do food videos with the Phillies. It was amazing. It's like brought us like really just, it's brought us a lot of joy.
That's so promising for anyone to hear that goes, well, now Susie's in sports media. She does this. She was an anchor person. You got on the field because of a love of nachos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, find your angle, find your in, find an excuse, and you go, sure, come on and eat some scorpions with Yahir. That's it.
So my question is, do you guys just do nachos?
We'll do all of the food, but we start with the nachos. Like, they're the jumping off point, and then we explore the other really fun, unique food items that any given park has to offer.
Okay. Pardon me, but aren't all the nachos the same?
No, my God.
I'm not a big nacho banger, if I'm honest. So I'm not, but I'm like, I'm wondering, all nachos have tasted the same to me since I've grown up. So how different can they really be?
I'm concerned about your palate. Have you had COVID?
taste buds. I actually like just traditional style. I'm okay with something more exploratory, which maybe you can share some of the wilder nachos, but just like traditional nachos are great.
Yeah. Definitely some of my favorite nachos are the ones here at Coors Field because you get that green chili queso that you don't get anywhere else. And they are just mwah, chef's kiss. Those are some of my favorites for sure. Because most other parks, you get like the orangey nacho cheese, which is good for a ballpark setting. It's kind of difficult to put nachos through an oven at a ballpark. But I went to one park that did have it.
Really?
And I've never seen this before. So usually, you know, for the sake of, you know, getting food out really fast, you know, you just get the cheese that's poured on, you throw the toppings on, those are your nachos. Chase Field they put them in this big, like, tin. They load it all up with the stuff, and they put them through this little, like, revolving oven, like a Domino's oven. Like
Quiznos style, almost.
It's like
that's
Quiznos
style.
I'm going Quiznos it's kind of Quiznos style. But they were really good, except they do get dry a little faster than the other ones. So, but they were really good.
What are some nacho no-nos? Like, I know some people are, like, putting ketchup on a hot dog,
yeah,
which is, it's traditional, but you go, mustard is probably the better fit for the dog. Are there any nacho takes of like, come on, you've got to have X, Y, and Z, or never do this?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that's offensive in the nacho world?
I will tell you what offends me.
Okay. Let it go.
I'm offended when I say, oh, where are the nachos? And people point me in the direction of like a tater tot, not a tacho.
Ooh.
I'm like, those aren't nachos. Those are loaded tater tots.
Different.
They're a different food. I'm not saying they're bad.
I'm just saying tachos,
they're a different food. Different. They're a whole different thing. I don't like when we do like kettle chip nachos. They don't have this. They're not sturdy. They get really soggy, and also they're potatoes.
Also different.
Different. It's
I
a
enjoy
different
that.
Food.
I'm as an Irish guy. I'll enjoy if it's, you know, house made like chips. But you're right. That's a totally different food altogether.
Exactly.
Gotta have jalapenos.
I love jalapenos, same. But I know a lot of people who can't handle spice, and I feel bad. Like, if I'm sharing nachos with, like, my mom, you know, she doesn't want all that spice. She's going to fall apart.
Tomato is a little too spicy for her. Is she that type?
Like, borderline,
whoa,
no.
What's in that? Tomato sauce? Yeah, it's got some kick to it.
She's listening. She's going to kill me for making fun of her.
Meat. You got to have meat on it, or are you good just, like, plain, like that's just traditional?
I don't think you have to have meat on them. Okay. I do love seeing, you know, a lot of parks will have like really good like smoked barbecue, and that's a great nacho topping that's, ooh, easy to like batch make like ahead of time. So like that's a really good nacho topping at any ballpark. But also like if you're putting other stuff on there and kind of filling out the plate, you don't need meat to have good nachos. The ones I had at Chase Field were actually, they had cornbread on them. You could get meat on them, but you could also get cornbread on them. And it was different, but it was pretty good. I liked it.
The helmet, the nacho helmet, is, if you're giving a grade to nacho, does that bump it up immediately a whole score just because it comes in the helmet? Or are you not distracted by that because you're a pro?
You know, I love a souvenir, but at the same time, it's, ooh, not the most efficient vehicle for a nacho.
Okay.
Because you just get a lot of naked chips at the bottom that are just going to go to waste. So it can be a little wasteful depending on like how they make them. But I do like a souvenir, but I think like the little cardboard tray is the best way to go.
Now, you had the crickets and some of the interesting food takes I saw over on at @nacho_scout, candy corn and circus peanuts. And I couldn't get a feel if there was sarcasm there. Do we like candy corn? Do we like circus peanuts? What do we think on that?
Amanda and I actually once made candy corn nachos because we knew that people would hate it. And I think they wrecked one of my pans, actually. It is not a food that is meant to be melted. I'm like, okay, so what is this doing in my body if this is what it's doing to my pans? That being said, like, I kind of don't have anything against candy corn.
I like candy corn.
I like it.
I'm a candy corn fan. And I like a good circus peanut. I haven't had one in at least 5 years, but that used to be something I would eat. And if I saw it somewhere, I go, all right, I'll pick that up. But you can't really find circus peanuts. Some people might not know. Yeah, here, have you ever heard of a circus peanut?
I haven't had
no idea what that is. Honestly.
It's not actually a peanut.
I'm trying to think. I'm like, when's the last time I even had a circus peanut? Like, it's probably been at least 20 years.
Where do you even get a circus peanut at? Brandon, circus peanut.
It's isn't that a candy? It's a soft thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Orange.
I don't know where you're going to get it. It's orange. It's terrible. It's not good. It's not a good thing.
It's kind of like chalky a little bit.
It is. It's chalky and it's stretchy. It's stretchy until it tears. I think
the candy corn and circus peanut, they have to be in the same camp.
Yes, circus peanut is candy corn's drunk uncle.
I'm in both of those camps. I'm very much
circus
okay
peanuts
with that.
Can double as like packing peanuts.
That's probably where they came from. I think that's why there's a shortage. You can't find them in a grocery store now at this point. You just
Amazon's using them for shipping.
Yeah, they just need that orange food coloring, and packing peanuts are really circus peanuts. I may need to try that
when
I get home. All right, so now that you've gone to all 30 stadiums and then some,
mm-hmm,
would you be more inclined to do that trip again or try to hit up most? Because it's got to be impossible to do all of minor league. That's 120 plus.
Yeah.
Or how about Japan?
I would love to go to Japan. That is like top of my list. That is like the baseball vibe I want to experience. That if I could like snap my fingers and go anywhere, that is the next ballpark trip I would do.
That makes a lot of sense. There's less teams there. Mm-hmm. You could probably swing over to South Korea, enjoy mm-hmm. some KBO games. You definitely have a lot of options.
Yeah.
When it comes to going those games and having that experience. I see that as being the next one rather than doing the whole trip again.
Yeah, I mean, I would do this whole trip again too in a heartbeat, but I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many other parks to go to. I actually thought on this trip I would make it to more minor league parks, and I did not. It was just hard enough kind of driving and getting through the 31 that I did have to go to. But I would love to, I wish I could have done more minor league parks. I wish.
Yeah.
Only had a driver.
And they're at least an hour away typically. Like that's part of the deal, right? You don't mm-hmm. want it to be too close to the major league club, or people are just going to go to that. There are obviously those rare occasions, yeah. like in St. Paul. I think I hear that's a very nice stadium now.
Yeah,
Twins' new AAA facility. So, what was your favorite stadium, or maybe even just your favorite experience that you had on this major road trip from the summer?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I always love Coors Field, but I exclude it from my favorites because I've spent a lot of time here, so I think I'm a little biased. I had such a great time in Seattle. That ballpark is amazing. They had great food. That city's really cool. But I was also there on a night where they were doing a very special promotion. So I'm walking around the park. My mom was here with me and one of my really good friends from college. So we're walking around and we see all these people wearing berets and striped shirts and like little scarves and like carrying like actual baguettes. We're like, what is happening at this wow. park right now? Like some kind of French heritage night? Like, what is this? So finally I like grab someone. I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, why are you all dressed like this? And she's like, it's South of France night. And I was like, please tell me more. So there's a section that sits all the way down the first baseline, and they are fans of Thai France. So they call that section South of France. So some fans collaborated with the Mariners to make a South of France night. So like the team was actually giving out like actual baguettes, and like it was absolutely delightful. I was like, okay, this is what I love about baseball. Just like goofy stuff like that. And I will just remember it forever.
Love it when the fans generate the interest and the team is just forced to pick up on and say, you found something here. South of France. Love that.
It was incredible.
He's found a home since that San Diego Padres trade. Mm-hmm. All right. What about in the South? Is Tropicana Field? I've only driven by it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I technically should have that on my list. I don't think I need to put it on there. Is the Tropicana as bad as it seems?
It's so weird. It's so weird. And there's so many spots in that arena where you just like don't get a good view, and like the lighting is off. Like it's the weirdest ballpark I've ever been to. Yeah, it's like kind of circus tent looking. It's weird. I would like to see them have something better.
It's one of the, I think, 10 oldest stadiums, which for the last and most recent expansion team, I think mm-hmm. they built it in 1988 to attract a team in 93, but Colorado, Miami got that done. Best division. I asked Drew Goodman this, you know, and he's got his take from the broadcaster's perspective and the city too, I think, tied into it. Mm-hmm. I think the National League West and the American League West are probably two of the best for the cities and the ballparks. Like the worst ballpark in the NL West is Chase Field. It's not great. Mm-hmm. But you've got four of the best in Dodger Stadium, AT&T Park now. Is mm-hmm. that the name of it? No, I think it's already switched.
Wait, hold on. Which one?
In San Francisco. China Basin.
Is
it AT&T
Oracle.
Park? Now it's Oracle.
It's Oracle, yes.
Not Pac Bell. But T-Mobile is Seattle.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard keeping track of all these names.
Branding.
And like I said, I think the American League West is really good. Oakland brings down the overall value.
Oof.
But Houston, the new ballpark in Texas, what was that experience like for you?
The new ballpark?
Yeah,
Globe Life. Okay, so it was actually one of my favorite stops, and I got like a really cool tour. I got to see a lot of behind the scenes stuff that like I wasn't even allowed to take pictures of. But that park is a modern marvel. Like there is just so much technology that like goes into like making it like a really good indoor ballpark experience. So it was one of my favorite stops.
Yeah, they had a lot of money to spend on that ballpark, and now they've spent a lot of money on their free agents. How exciting has it been the last couple days, keeping tabs on baseball? We know there's about to be this lockout that's coming, so mm-hmm. there's going to be just a pause on everything, no rumors, trades, things of that nature. But it's been exciting seeing all these guys bounce around the last couple days.
Yeah, I really thought Trevor Story was going to be the one that went to Texas. So I was, you know, because he's from there. I was like, oh, that would have been cute. No, I've just been like, you know, it's been crazy just trying to keep track of everything going on. I love this. Love hot stove season.
Yeah, it's been great creating this kind of false deadline because teams, they want to get these deals done because you still got to get a guy to do the physical. So you can't sign a guy at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday night because you got to have the physical done because the lockout's going to shut it all down. So it's been really fun creating this time period for the free agents and teams to go and make these deals. And it's generated a lot more interest.
Yeah, definitely snapped me out of my Thanksgiving food coma.
Oh, for sure. any interesting foods for Thanksgiving that you had?
We've done, you know, Thanksgiving leftover nachos in the past. I didn't make anything for Thanksgiving this year. This is like the first Thanksgiving I've actually celebrated because I've been working in TV news. So like the past like 4 years, I've just been working. So I'm like, I'll take whatever I can get.
Fantastic.
There were no nachos at my Thanksgiving, though.
Susie, thank you for joining us. And if anyone sees you, you should let us know which Breckenridge Brewery beer you want so people can, they know what to order you.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to have the nachos, too, here.
The nachos are good here.
They're very good.
I love the nachos here.
I'm not ashamed. Like, I'm not a chicken fingers guy. Like, I eat food. I was a picky eater when I was a kid, so I'm sensitive about that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a guy with all kinds of replacements in my food and take that out and do this. And so the only weirdness I feel is when getting nachos, because it's in the appetizer section, it feels like it's a childlike purchase. But when you come here to the DMVR bar and most other places, the nachos are gigantic.
Oh,
it's hard
huge.
To finish nachos anywhere you go.
Oh, they're a mountain. Yeah.
I will take that back. The nachos at DMVR are a lot better anywhere else. So I do taste the difference with that nacho.
Thank you.
I'll take that back.
Good save.
Got it in under the wire. Appreciate it. Susie, thank you so much. Anything else we got to plug? At the Susie Hunter.
On all platforms. I'm the easiest person to find. It's a little scary.
That's great. And all platforms, Nacho Scout in some form with some underscores in there.
Yeah,
Even TikTok, right? Are you still doing the TikToks?
It has a TikTok.
It has a TikTok.
We updated it. We're busy.
I love that. Susie, thank you so much. We love having everyone from the Rockies community here. Yeah. You're a big part of that. We really appreciate that. So for DNVR Sports, again, you can follow me at Patrick D. Lyons in our account at DNVR _Rockies. Yahir, give yourself a shout out too. At Yahir G. Vasquez.
You got it right, Patrick. That's why I love you, man.
Let's go. My producer. That's my man. For DNVR Sports, thank you to Susie Hunter, Yahir, and myself, DNVR Rockies Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. The folks at Green Mountain Dental Group deserve to take some credit for those smiling Colorado sports fans around town, especially those of our DNVR listeners who've switched to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years to make them their permanent family dentist. And if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you're going to receive a free Sonicare toothbrush from Green Mountain Dental Group, located only 15 minutes from downtown Denver.